Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Alex Avila with Love University. I'm a clinical psychologist, author, and speaker. And Love University is about helping you find love, loving yourself, others, and higher nature. And it's not just about romantic love or love in a relationship, but also it's about self-esteem. It's about being the best you can be. And love really as a form of energy, something that can help you achieve your greatest goals. And each week, we have a different topic. And we have been actually having some guests recently, what I call the Mastermind Series, where people that are experts in relationships and love and other areas have come on. And today we have a very special guest, and I'm very interested in talking to him because he's going to give us a different perspective. Sometimes we have women who are coaches for women to help them in love relationships. And today we have a man who's going to talk about males, how to help males meet the women and have good relationships. And I'm happy to present Mr. Brad P. Hello, Brad.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
How are you doing?
Good.
So you're known as a leading expert on men's dating advice. I think you said you've been doing this for over 10 years as a dating coach, and you help with thousands of men meet women and start relationships. And let me ask you, Brad, I know there's something that's called the seduction community, which is you know, kind of something that helps men overcome shyness or meet women. And I had a guy recently tell me he used to do this kind of work, but he switched over to helping women because they're more responsive. What's been your experience? Are men still responsive to helping them in dating?
I think men are very responsive. And in contrast with women, you know, men have a lack of effective dating advice in mainstream media. So whereas women can get great dating advice from Cosmo or any women's magazine, the men's magazines tend to have ineffective advice, you know, how to buy her flowers, how to propose to her. And for a guy who's not really meeting a lot of women in the first place, how to buy her flowers doesn't really help him at all, because if you buy flowers for a woman who's not interested in you, it can actually be a very big turnoff.
That's a good point.
So when men are looking for effective dating advice, they have to search, I think, for non-mainstream sources, because for men to go out and try to get dates can be considered a little taboo or a little sleazy or blah, blah, blah. And so I'm a non-mainstream source. I don't do any mainstream interviews. I don't work with any TV stations or men's magazines, because my advice would probably be too upsetting and controversial for their readers.
Well, let's get into this, because you know, we like to look at all points of view here. And
yes.
Now you're talking from the male's point of view. And I've worked with introvert and shy males, some males who are so-called sensitive that, you know, have a difficulty in talking to women, meeting women.
Yes, me too.
And so let me ask you now, you have very interesting materials. You talk about something called women have the instant rejection mechanism. Can you tell us what that means?
Yeah, sure. Attractive women get approached by men a lot in some form or another, you know, whether it's guys who have known her for a while or guys she's just running into. Actually, my girlfriend was at the supermarket yesterday. I'll tell you a quick story.
Okay.
And the security guard at the supermarket said, you know, no, hi, how are you doing? Just, you're beautiful. I'm going to take you on a trip to Cancun. Let's skip the first date. Trip to Cancun. Let's go.
Okay. So your girlfriend took off, and that's the last we heard of her. No? No.
Well, luckily for me, she turned him down.
Okay.
But I'm keeping an eye on her, you know, yeah. If I see her
practicing. Okay. So you think that, so why does she, well, obviously she's with you, but if it's a woman, you know, at a nightclub or restaurant, why does she reject men, and how does she do it? What's her main approach?
Since women get hit on so much, they actually have a lot of practice rejecting men. Hmm. Obviously a woman can't, you know, accept the advances of every man who tries. It would be not practical. It should be on 100 dates a week if she's attractive, you know.
Okay.
So women get a lot of practice, and a woman's objective typically will be to just get out of the situation, not hurt the guy's feelings too much, and just make it as, you know, she doesn't want to make it awkward. So as little awkwardness as possible to just get out of the situation.
Okay.
So what women do over time is through practice, they develop these auto-rejection scripts or mechanisms. Mm. So one would be, oh, I would love to, but I have a boyfriend. So a girl who doesn't have a boyfriend might use, I have a boyfriend, just to get herself out of an awkward situation. Another thing you might get is you might hit on two women and they might say, no, we're lesbians. You know, so I have a boyfriend and we're lesbians. These are two of the most common auto rejection scripts that women use. And women use scripts on men all the time.
Now, you also talked about males, using their own script or something to break the ice. Now, you have an interesting one here, and you call it the psychologist trick. You tell the guy to say, "Hi, my name is," his name, "and I'm shy. My psychologist told me that I should go out and talk to five people new every day. I decided to talk to you because you seem nice." Now, in your materials, you say, well, this is a good way to appeal to her maternal instincts, you know, that she's a nice person and can help you. But, I mean, some people might say that sounds a little manipulative. I mean, are they being authentic when the guys do that?
Well, I'm searching for what's effective. I'm not searching for what's authentic because students who have a small comfort zone will have a very narrow idea of what's authentic to them. And what I want to do is I want to get people out of their comfort zone. And, you know, within reason, of course. I don't want them to do something that feels too far out. But when you stick to only what's authentic, you're closing the door on so many techniques and ideas that could cause you to grow and get out of your old habits that have been keeping you in the dark for years and not having success. So this psychologist, opening line is for beginners, real beginners who are scared of rejection. And they need to just get a few chances to talk to a woman because they haven't talked to a woman in a while. And it's not like it's going to make a lot of girls attracted to you, but it will get you into conversations. And I think that's a good start for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually suggested this to shy guys to actually go out and talk to women or people. So, I mean, it is good advice. And the key is at what point they use it, you know, in terms of meeting people. The other thing you talk about is that men have a sexual neediness that I guess they get overwhelmed, like you said, with so-called beautiful women, and they compliment them too much. So your advice here is to don't compliment her, but compliment her friend instead and make her a little bit jealous. Does that work?
You know, that's not really to get her jealous. That's more to become friends with her peer group because a lot of women are out in groups, and if their whole group likes you, then they're going to be more comfortable with flirting with you and you pursuing them and things like that. So complimenting her friend, and it's got to be, you know, a genuine compliment for something that she's obviously put effort into. That can work to just make the whole situation more comfortable. Mm-hmm.
But you don't compliment the girl you really like because that will be too much.
I don't recommend complimenting women unless they're already interested in you. So this is a bit of a complex subject, but hey, you're a clinical psychologist. You're a smart guy. You might as well dive into it, right?
Okay.
One of the things that triggers the auto-rejection mechanism is showing too much interest. So if a guy walks up to a girl and says, "You're gorgeous, I'm really into you," boom, I have a boyfriend. Boom, we're lesbians. Because it's just so boring to a woman to hear that kind of a compliment because I've heard it so many times. Now, if she already likes you, it will work. So if you happen to be her ultimate type and you look exactly the way her dream man should look, then you can compliment her all day and it's going to work. However, most of the guys I teach are not some dream boat. They're, you know, less than good looking and maybe socially awkward. I specialize in teaching guys who are inexperienced with women. So they're typically not the best looking guys. And I'm not the best looking guy either. So I've never had any luck with compliments. Now, when you have talked to a woman for a while, and she's interested in you and she's starting to show interest, then it's a good time to compliment her. So the golden rule of this is don't show interest in the girl until she shows interest in you first, because this is going to remove the possibility of her just auto-rejecting you and categorizing you in with all the needy guys who bother her and are sexually desperate. And you don't want to be categorized as one of those guys. It's extremely important. It's instant game over if you're categorized as a needy guy, just like the rest of them.
That's very interesting. In social psychology, we call it the scarcity philosophy, where something is scarce, it seems more valuable.
Yes.
Also, if other people like it, it also is more valuable, consensus. So apparently, I've heard of that before, right? If other people like something that, you know, the other person will like it.
Right. So if five girls are clearly interested in you, girl number six is going to be interested as well, and she's not even going to have to think about it that much.
Okay, good point. Now, so some of it is basically, I guess, persuasion techniques you're talking about, or putting yourself in a positive light. And sure. The other one is, I guess, building the inner confidence as well, because you say some of these guys are introvert or shy, or
yes. Maybe and I was introverted as well. I still kind of am, actually.
Yeah, actually, I am as well, and I'm also shy. And so getting them into, basically, you said putting them out of their comfort zone and into the right mental place to attract women. So you mentioned something called Formula X activation, some kind of system that you have. How does that work to help men who are shy get out of their comfort zone and meet women?
Well, what it sort of does is it simulates an interaction with a woman, sort of on the computer. It's some new technology that you can do that will sort of allow you to talk to a computer like you're talking to a woman. And then you'll get a score on how well you did. And once you've been doing that for a few weeks, you kind of have built the right habits, and you go out and you try to talk to women using the same good habits that you've built. So it's a new technology, and it seems to be helping guys. It's not that popular yet. Not a lot of people are using it, but it's something that I'm trying to do to bridge the gap between, guys who just can't talk to women at all and guys who can go out and practice. Practicing and talking to women is very, very important, but if you can't even start that because you're so fearful of rejection, then, it's all this learning is for nothing.
So building the self-esteem. Now, you have certain things here. You said if they're nervous, redirect the energy to make her attracted. So how does that work? Let's say you're nervous, your hands are shaking. How do you turn that into an attraction energy?
Well, if you're nervous and your hands are shaking, the best thing to do is practice more and talk to more and more women until it becomes normal for you. If a woman sees your hands shaking and you're that nervous, I don't know if there's too much that can happen that's really going to make her comfortable, because if you're nervous, she's going to be nervous. Yeah. But if you go...
Unless she's a nurse, and then she can take you to the hospital or something. So that could work.
Yeah, but not maybe the Florence Nightingale effect. Maybe yeah. She'll get
okay, that's possible.
I used to be really nervous when I'd first started talking to women all the time.
Yes.
And, they could sense it, and it didn't work out that well. But I got less and less nervous as I tried more and more. So right. By the time I talked to 50 or 60 women just on a cold approach, I wasn't nervous anymore. Right.
Now, Brad, let me step back here a moment, because it's very interesting that people have a certain background that brings them to where they are today. Now, about you, what in your life, either pain or failure, that helped you become who you are today? Did you have bad relationships? Were you very shy? How did you get to this point where you're helping men meet women as your life occupation?
Well, I was very shy. When I was growing up, I had a lot of social anxiety. The reason I had social anxiety was because I grew up around a lot of alcoholism. Alcoholism makes children want to not express their own needs. So I actually read some books on that, child of an alcoholic type books. Right. And I realized that I had become socially isolated and socially anxious. And I realized it, quite a bit later. And I wanted to choose activities that would help me get over my social anxiety. I didn't just want to stay socially anxious for my whole life. So as I started trying to meet women, I've met very few women. I mean, in high school, I didn't have one single date with any of the girls from my school. In college, it just wasn't much better. And by the time I moved to New York City after college, it was a difficult dating scene for me.
I see. So you were like a 25-year-old virgin or something like that?
Had some experience with women, but I met such a small number of women per year. I mean, I may have met 3-4 women total in a year, and I was just trying to make the most of that.
Right. What turned you around? What made you into an expert? Or what was the trigger that started you changing?
Well, a lot of women would, the few women I would meet would tell me, I don't want to go on a date with you. I want to be your friend because you're so nice. You're a really nice guy. Ah. And this was infuriating to me. I mean, I didn't tell them that because I was a nice guy and I would never be angry with people. Yes. But to be told that you're too nice over and over, it's very frustrating. And I was frustrated for years with this. And I found a book from Robert Glover, and it was called No More Mr. Nice Guy. And it outlines, he's also a clinical psychologist, I believe. It outlines the ways that nice guys sabotage their interactions and their relationships. And basically that nice guys make covert contracts where they sort of try to do this deal with a woman where they're like, well, I'll do all this nice stuff for you, I'll get you a present and I'll give you a ride and I'll help you out of a jam. And in return, you're going to go on a date with me and give me sex and blah, blah, blah. So this never works. Mm. It's ineffective strategy. And nice guys cling to this idea and they do it over and over forever. Right. So I read this book and I realized that was my problem. Mm. And one of the things he said in the book was, if you want to meet women, I mean, this was like a small paragraph. If you're failing with meeting women by doing nice things, why don't you do something different? Why don't you just go out and hit on girls like at a coffee shop or in the street or, you know, wherever you may be, at the mall or at a nightclub? It's not illegal to hit on women. You could hit on as many as you want. So this gave me like a light bulb, you know, and I was thinking, I didn't know you were allowed to do that, you know? So sure enough, I went out and I tried talking to 5 or 10 women just as an experiment. I didn't really know if it'll go well. And I mean, it wasn't that bad. I mean, I didn't get any dates or phone numbers, but I didn't get arrested either. So that at the time for me was a score. So I just started doing it every day and eventually got pretty good at it.
But I have a little bit of a challenge here for you. I have one of the nicest guys in the world sitting next to me, who's my engineer, named Reggie.
Okay.
Hey, Reggie. He's blushing now. And as we said, he's a very nice guy. He's a little shy. Now, Reggie, yeah. Let me ask you, being a nice guy, does that help or hurt you with women, do you think?
I mean, I guess historically it's hurt me with women because I've gotten that before. Oh, you're too nice. I've been there before. So yeah, in that sense, it's hurt me.
Okay. So what do we do about it? I mean, do we get him roughed up a little bit, riding a motorcycle jacket and on a motorcycle? Or I mean, do we make him a mean person?
I think it might work.
Yes. I mean, in other words, think about this, Brad. If we turn him into a so-called jerk, is that going to be good for him so he can get women, or should we work with what he has?
Well, it's a complex issue, and there's a certain flavor of being a jerk that women find very attractive. And, you know, when guys hear being a jerk, they picture some evil rapist guy, you know, and that's not what we're really going for. Being the jerk who, you know, makes a lot of jokes and has a good time and doesn't worry too much about what people think, that kind of a jerk is very attractive to women. So it all starts with, like you said, raising the self-worth. Because guys who are nice guys and perceived as submissive by women communicate low self-worth. They're like, well, yeah, I'll give you a ride to work when your car's broke down. No, you don't need to pay me back at all. You don't need to do anything for me. I'm just happy to help you. Now, that communicates low self-worth. So,
yeah, I like that. Except instead of a jerk, I would use the word actor, because, you know, every man has a hidden actor, you know, some part of them that is very confident, you know, maybe Marlon Brando or, you know, whoever you admire. And Reggie, is there an inner actor, someone that you admire out there in the movie or world?
Gary Oldman.
Oh, okay. Gary Oldman. How does he talk and walk? What is his style?
Well, he's kind of like a chameleon, so whatever the role is, he kind of adopts whoever he's trying to play. Usually he plays villains, so confident, very
movie. Okay. Brad, can we get him to channel his inner Gary Oldman?
I think it would be a great idea, especially because Gary Oldman, like he said, is a chameleon. And one thing that all the nice guys out there should remember is you can change your persona if you want to. You don't have to be the same person every single day or every single month. You can change into someone different, or you can show different faces to different people. All the world is a stage. That's what Shakespeare said, right?
Good point. And also, but there are parts of you, there are real parts of you that you just demonstrate. So Reggie, sometimes you're nice, right? Sometimes you're a little bit tough, but, you know, still loving, right?
Yeah.
Sense of humor,
tough,
right?
And loving can work.
Give us a line from Oldman. Do you know a line from one of his movies?
Something from JFK. I didn't shoot anybody, no, sir. No, they've taken me in because of the fact that I lived in the Soviet Union. I'm just a patsy.
Hey, Academy Award? What do you think, Brad? That was okay?
I think pretty good, yeah. good first try.
Okay, all right. You need a little work, I think, on the JFK, on the British accent. Is it British accent?
Or what? Well, it's Lee Harvey Oswald. He's in JFK. He's playing Lee Harvey Oswald.
Okay, that was good, okay. So well, don't get
colored. The good thing is getting out of your comfort zone, trying something new. That's the big key.
Exactly. Now you said the friend zone is the worst place you can be, worse than rejection. So that nice guy that gets her car washed and takes care of her puppies, he's not gonna be able to get with her as a relationship.
No, there's zero chance. It will never happen. There's no escape from the friend zone ever. So if you're one of those guys listening who thinks you can be a girl's friend and then date her later, it never works. Forget it. Give up. Try something different.
And you said that a lot of men can't say no to attractive women in the friend zone. They still want to be their friend if they find them very attractive.
Right. That's because they have low self-worth and they don't believe that they're deserving of having her sexual attention. So they settle for the friend zone. They think that's a good idea, but it's a terrible idea. It's a bad road to go down. Ask me how I know. I've been there hundreds of times.
All right. So, Brad, you sound like almost a reformed nice guy, but still kind of nice, but you're applying different techniques from your personal life.
That's right. I'm a reformed nice guy. And when I want to attract a woman, I try to turn on a super dominant vibe.
Okay. So more of a confident energy. Now, one controversy that we hear in this field of seduction community is that, you know, men are being taught how to, I guess, sexually seduce a lot of different women. So more of a promiscuity as opposed to finding a soulmate or getting married. Is that something true or does that depend on the male?
Well, I don't tell people what goal they should have. I tell you how to get there. So if you want to get married within 6 months, I teach you to do that. If you want to have sex with 100 different women in the next 2 years, I teach you how to do that because it all comes from the same place. You know, being dominant and being attractive to women is what you have to learn if you want to get married or if you want to have sex with 100 women. So I don't tell people what goal to have. I don't judge people's goals. I just show them how to get there.
How about the so-called feeling males that are maybe artistic or creative and, you know, they really like their persona. How do they attract women, maintaining who they are? I mean, do they have to attract women
artistic
that love?
Artistic kinds of guys?
Yes.
Well, there's a lot of, you know, I'd say that's a pretty broad category. A guy who's artistic could be very attractive to women because he has a lot of personality and confidence. On the other hand, a guy who's artistic might be very awkward and very submissive towards women and not do well at all. And I think a lot of people do get into the arts in order to get noticed by women, and that can work. However, you really won't be able to get a girlfriend or close the deal in any way unless she finds you attractive and dominant. So being into creative stuff won't do the whole job, but it can help.
What if you have a woman who is dominant who wants a submissive man? What do you do in that case? When the energies are reversed, you know, she actually likes a man who can be more submissive or softer.
If that happens, you should open Google Maps and check what universe you're in, because it doesn't happen. It's impossible. Women only want dominant guys. Case closed. That's my opinion.
So you're saying even a dominant woman? Because we hear of the woman nowadays that, you know, they're very independent and strong-minded. You know, they have even a masculine energy. And they do kind of tend to date, you know, the so-called softer kind of guys. Do you believe that occurs?
That is a misconception because of the workplace. In the workplace, women can be in charge and they can be dominant and it's great. And a lot of women have dominant energy. But when it comes to a relationship and dating, women prefer to take the submissive role in the interaction. They want a guy who makes all the decisions, decides where to go on the date, tells them what to do a little bit, and, you know, to various degrees. And this idea of a woman with masculine energy is just kind of a misnomer because of the workplace culture.
Okay. Now, in terms of, you talk about signals that indicate high status or confidence, even nonverbals. What could be some of those things that a male can, you know, give off to attract a woman, you know, the high status symbols? Are you talking about having a fancy car or clothes, or are you talking about something else?
No, fancy car won't work. You only get gold diggers with that. They want to take advantage of you. So what I'm talking about in terms of nonverbal cues is having a great walk, walking tall, having good posture, standing up tall, having a loud voice, being commanding. Those are the nonverbal cues that women look for.
Okay. So the nonverbal cues of esteem and confidence, you would say.
Yeah, correct.
And and this is something you teach men? I mean, how do you work with the guys? Yeah. Do you actually go out in the field with them to meet women, or do you coach them over the phone, or what is your way that you do this?
I do both. I do some phone coaching, but I also go in the field. I actually have a field session coming up, I think, in 3 days from now. And what I do at those sessions is I'm going to, you know, evaluate the guy, his mindset, his fashion, his body language, all these things, and try to improve all of them. I'll also approach women right in front of my students so they can watch me do it and maybe learn by watching, you know, monkey see, monkey do. And then I'll let the student approach and I'll coach him. I'll make changes. If he doesn't know what to say, I'll give him stuff to say. If he doesn't know what to wear, I'll give him stuff to wear.
Okay, so that's good. So you're a very personal, hands-on kind of coach to
yes.
help the men. And one thing that you talk about, and I actually talk about it in my books, you call it social circle dating, and I call it romantic networking. My books, Guy Types and Love Types, where, you know, based on personality types, you can meet someone that resonates with you by joining a group or organization that fits you. For example, if you're a meaning seeker and you like psychology, philosophy, you can join groups like that and meet women that like that. And you talk about that as well, that you said choose a hobby that interests you and that will give you opportunity to meet women.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Yeah, that's a good way to meet women. And there's techniques to use with that as well.
So give me an example. So let's say you like surfing and chess. What do you do to meet women?
All right. If you like, well, first thing is you want to pick an activity that you like that probably has a lot of women around.
Okay. So I used to be in the chess club, but that probably wouldn't work, right?
Yeah, unless there's a lot of women in the chess club, which probably not.
Exactly. So tennis might work. Tennis would be good, no?
Just not enough people. Tennis is kind of one-on-one or two-on-two. I look for group activities. Like if it's a sport, maybe like hiking. Some people do group hikes or maybe like salsa dancing or hip-hop dancing. Those kinds of things are athletic, but they're also more appealing to women.
Reggie, what activity would you like to do that Brad can get you in? With women, hopefully, right? Not engineering or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. With women. Dating would be nice at this point.
Dating would be nice. There you go.
the poor guy hasn't been on a date in a while, right? I mean.
Yeah, I feel your pain, man. I really do.
I think you have your first client, Brad, over here. So you're doing good. Can you give us can you give him a tip? I mean, what activity?
Yeah, sure.
He's a very brainy guy. He loves engineering and radio and stuff. What could he do to meet a woman?
Okay, so if you like engineering and radio, so it's audio engineering. So audio engineering, what would be the female interest in that? This is kind of how I look at it. I would say I would engineer for some female singers or video engineer for some female dancers, maybe. Women like singing and dancing. They don't like running computers and machines quite as much. I might just offer myself up for like free recordings and things like that, or join some event that has to do with that, and just get to know the women that way, and then know them outside of that, you know, in their social circle and meet their friends and things like that. You know what might be good, actually? You know where you meet a lot of female singers, like an open mic? You could go to an open mic and just offer like a free recording of their performance. And tell them you'll email to them when the thing's over. They give you their email address, and then you start talking to them from there.
Well, interesting. So I might not see Reggie again. Reggie, you might be taking off to Hawaii with your supermodel or something, right?
There you go. It's just something off the top of my head. You know, you'd have to test to see if it works.
You do mention, Brad, making friends, approaching guys and making friends with guys to meet their friend, their girlfriends. Now, isn't that a little bit tricky because they might get jealous of you with their girlfriends?
I don't think so. A lot of guys like to have a wingman, you know, and guys want to meet guys, you know, girls want to meet girls. Everybody has same-sex friends.
Okay. So by meeting a male, that he can introduce you to his, I guess, platonic female friends, you're saying? In a social
if the setting. Guy happens to have a lot of female friends, or maybe the guy has a girlfriend already and she has a bunch of friends, like, you know, and he just wants somebody to take all these chicks off his hands, you know, because he's already got a girlfriend, so he doesn't really care. He's not going to get jealous.
Okay, so you're part of a social circle, you're saying, where you meet each other and make connections. And you also have, Brad, something called the 8-minute date system to attract any woman. Can you tell us what that is? That sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's actually it's a series of things you would say to a woman that's going to get her interested and get you a phone number, and so you could set up a date with her within 8 minutes. Because it doesn't take that long. I mean, if you meet a woman and she's attracted, it shouldn't have to take 2-3 hours of talking to her. You know, 8 minutes is definitely sufficient. So I don't want to give away the whole script, but, you know, if people can find it at bradp.com if they want to check out.
But is it like a joke? You'd say a couple of jokes. Do you insult her in a funny way? Do you praise her? What would be the overall?
It's sort of like, all right. I will give away the first couple seconds of it.
Reggie's laughing, so he wants this.
Okay. So it's basically creating a scenario between you and the woman that is a joke, but the girl is not 100% sure if it's a joke or if it's real. So since you're operating in that gray area between what's real and what's humorous, you become more in the know than she is. And this allows you to take the dominant position in the interaction. So specifically, you would walk up to a girl and you'd take a look at her and you'd say, hey, there's a new rule. And let's say she's wearing high boots and you're at Starbucks. You might say, there's no more high boots allowed at Starbucks anymore. It's a new rule. I'm not quite sure why. I think it's because of the environment or something. And I heard it on NPR on the way over here. So obviously she's going to then say, oh my God, are you for real? And she doesn't know if it's a joke or if it's serious, right? And the rest, you will have to buy my 8-minute day product to get. But that is the first couple seconds.
Okay, so you're creating a little bit of confusion and kind of like mystery in a sense, because she doesn't know where you're coming from. Now, a lot of this is very interesting, but I mean, some people, you know, the other side would argue that, again, you know, the gentlemen are not being who they really are. You know, they're playing maybe even a false role. And how would you respond to that? I mean, isn't it better to be who you are, be authentic, and then go with your strengths? Or is it better to play a role?
No, be yourself never worked for me.
Never worked.
No, it doesn't work. Here's the thing. You already are yourself. Is it getting you any dates? No. Right, then don't be yourself anymore. Turn into someone else.
How about being your best self? What if Reggie starts working out and he takes singing and acting classes and becomes the best Reggie? Wouldn't that be the way to get the lady?
Well, then he would be changing into a different person.
Yes,
he would be the ripped actor instead of the nice guy. Be a different person. Don't be yourself. Being yourself doesn't work.
Okay, but be your best self might work, right? If you become your best self,
I think it's a very. I think it's a way of just pussyfooting around the fact that men refuse to change and they want to continue to try their ineffective techniques over and over again. And I think you have to look in yourself in the mirror and say, what I'm doing doesn't work. I need to admit it to myself and do something else. I need to change. I need to be a different kind of person. Being a submissive nice guy doesn't work anymore. So that part of myself, I kill him today. Mm. I stab him to death and I turn into somebody else.
Okay, Reggie, you're going to become a monster, but in a good way, right, I think?
Yeah.
What do you think of so far? Now, Reggie, I think, is a great candidate because he is a very nice, shy, introvert guy. But from your point of view, Reggie, what's going through your mind?
Well, I feel I'm not as much of a nice guy as I used to be. But I do feel this is all very insightful. I'm kind of like, oh, okay, that's what I was doing wrong, you know?
Okay. Okay, so you used to be a super nice guy before, Reggie. Okay.
And then I suggest taking a drastic approach to this.
Oh, okay.
I don't think you want to try one or two little things. I think you need to go all the way. It's all or nothing. Be drastic.
Okay. Shave your head, Reggie? Or no. Is that too drastic, Brad, to shave the head or something like that?
I don't think so. If women like shaved heads, do it. Okay. Just a haircut. It'll grow back.
Exactly. So you use the word drastic. So you're looking at a kind of extreme change. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. If you want extreme results, you have to take extreme action. You can't just do a little bit. It's not going to work.
Very interesting. Now, Reggie, you know, he's getting paid a lot of money here. And he's got to take a girl out to a fancy restaurant or expensive champagne to impress her. Is that the way to do it on a date, Brad?
Please do not do that. Bad idea.
Okay. Why is that? I mean, you know, he wants to impress her, right? Take her to, Bourgeon, the best French restaurant.
Not a good way to impress a woman. It looks like you're trying too hard because you have low self-worth. Now, if it's your favorite restaurant and you want to go there because you like it and money ain't a thing to you and this is just a normal way for you to eat, then it's a good idea. But if you're doing it from a place of trying to impress a girl, you're communicating low self-worth. My ideal date is three locations, spending, you know, probably under $20, and the girl might even pay half. And I might start with, you know, a cup of tea or something like that. I certainly wouldn't take a girl out to dinner where we're going to be in an awkward situation where she has to, like, do these questions like, oh, what do you do? Where are you from? I mean, that stuff is really boring. And women have done it so many times, they're sick of it. Women find dinner dates awkward.
And you're so talking about the first date, Brad? Or are you talking about okay, only the first date? But let's say you date her a few times, then would you take her to a nice place?
Yeah, if I like her and I feel like going to that place, but I'm not going to do it just to impress her. I'll go where I want to go on a date. I'm not going to just take the girl somewhere that I don't like just because I'm trying so hard because I know I'm not good enough.
Right. Brad, you sound like you're very genuine in wanting to help men. What drives you to this idea of helping men? Because it is almost a dwindling art. You know, people are switching to the female market and self-help. Not many people work with males anymore. Why do you still have a passion for it?
Well, I have a lot of students who want to learn, and there's still a need for it. So I have a whole curriculum. I've been doing it over 10 years. I figure might as well keep going.
Okay. What is your greatest accomplishment in life? I mean, what are you most proud of? It doesn't have to be even work-wise, but anything in your personal life that you've really are happy about?
Well, actually, in 2009, I was named number one in the world as a dating coach on all three major polls.
Wow. Yeah.
Back then, we used to have like these polls that were like college football polls, and I got named number one on all three of them, and it's never been done before or since.
That's amazing. So you beat out Mystery and all those other guys that do that stuff?
Yep. Beat them all out.
Okay, excellent. So how about in your personal life? Anything in your life that you're proud of?
Oh, I won a college basketball championship.
Really? Where did you go to college and play?
I went to Adelphi University in Long Island.
Okay, Division II, Division III?
Division II.
Awesome. Yeah, my son actually played basketball, a little college, and also semi-pro. So you must be a tall guy then. You're an athlete.
I'm an athlete, yeah. Okay. And my old coach from Adelphi is now an NBA coach.
And which one's that?
His name is Steve Clifford. He's with Charlotte.
I know Steve Clifford, That's awesome. But wait a minute, Brad. As an athlete, don't you automatically get women? I mean, just being an athlete, why do you have to work so hard to impress them if you're already a star?
Good question, man. Wish I would have asked myself that question when I was in college.
So it didn't work? Even being an athlete didn't help you with the ladies?
I was captain of the basketball team in high school. I never got one single date.
Wow.
I won the championship in college. I never got one single date from it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't think it's that being an athlete doesn't work. I think it could work for some people, but because I had poor social skills, I wasn't able to maximize or capitalize on the whole athlete thing. You know, if, there might have been girls that liked me that saw me playing, but I couldn't talk to them. I was too afraid of them, so it didn't really help.
Interesting. So, Brad, as we get to enter the near the end of this, what is your greatest thing you're working on now? Is there anything you're excited about? Any products or services you're providing that you're really excited about?
Well, I'm excited about my one-on-one coaching session this Saturday. I'm doing a daytime session with a new student. I haven't met him before, so I'm excited for that. And I'm always excited for the Black Book, which is my probably my most famous book right now. The Black Book has just over 100 pages of stuff you can say to women if you don't know what to say. It's, you know, what to say was always a big problem for me when I was trying to learn. I was like, I really want to learn this. I'm going up and talking to women, but I don't know what to say. So, you know, if you just know what works and what to say, I think that's kind of half the battle. So Black Book from Brad P. is helpful, I think, for people learning.
And where are you based, Brad? What city are you in?
Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. You're a neighbor to me.
Yeah.
Maybe we can collaborate on some seminars or some activities in the future.
And, yeah, sure.
And do something together. Because it seems like you do want to help men. I mean, you do have a desire to help boost their self-esteem and confidence and help them in relationships. And, you know, Love University is about relationships. And
yeah, I teach a lot of relationship stuff as well. I have a lot of thoughts on relationships. I'm pretty good at girlfriend type stuff. I have had pretty successful relationships and some great girlfriends. Got a great girlfriend right now. So
yeah, I'm wondering if even women can learn something from this, you know, some ideas. Do you ever think about helping women at all, or are you strictly with men?
I have coached women. It's not my primary focus, but I've had some female clients and always willing to help.
Okay, I like that. Okay. You seem quite educated and, you know, very intellectual in your approach as well, which is
good. I was a social worker before I got into this.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I was working with at-risk urban teens.
Wow, okay. So your background is psychology, so you bring a psychological angle to this.
Yeah, I have a degree in psychology and philosophy.
Wow.
And I have experience coaching and teaching people in other subjects, and obviously as a social worker as well.
Yeah, that makes a big difference. Well, here at Love University, we want to thank Brad. He's been an excellent guest, a lot of valuable information. And if you want to reach, where do we reach you, Brad? What's your website again?
BradP.com is my website, and there's an email on there. You can email me, and I read them a couple times a week, so I will get back to you. I read them myself. I have a lot of products that might help you, books, seminars, things like that, and I'm always available for one-on-one coaching as well.
Fantastic. So here at Love University, you can reach us at loveuniversity.love. Email us at lovetype4u@aol.com. That's LOVETYPE, the number 4, letter U at AOL.com, or call us at 310-226-8090. Again, Brad, it's been wonderful. Thank you very much for being on the show, and we look forward to seeing you in the future.
Thank you so much.
And until next time, this is Love University. Class is now in recess. We'll see you next time.